What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Adjacent. You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
Look at Russ. Russ got that nice background. Both of you guys have a nice clean background. I got like my bedroom. Welcome to my bedroom.
I got lucky.
I mean,
Carlos.
That's a nice invitation in its own way, I guess. But
I need to say it with like that Antonio Banderas accent, though. I need to say, "Welcome to my bedroom." Perhaps have a seat here on the edge of the bed. I'll get you something to get you in the mood. A drink, perhaps.
One of my favorite. Everyone always says like the era of Saturday Night Live that you think was the best era was whatever the cast was when you were in high school. And I think that's okay. Probably true. Russ, do you have any like affinity for Saturday Night Live or no?
Yes. Okay. I was watching during a solid era of Saturday Night Live. So my introduction to SNL was like the Tracy Morgan era SNL, right?
That feels good early. That feels early for you. Like, feels it like does. You might have been watching it kind of young.
I was. Like, by
I think I'm about the same time, too, but I'm like 10 years older than you.
It's like Tracy Morgan, Fallon. Who else was on there? Then you get the Andy Sandbergs and Jason Sudeikis and Tina Fey and that golden era group and the stuff that they were doing. I loved SNL and Kenan Thompson, my man. But after that, it kind of was just like, I guess that era of me watching SNL is over. But I loved SNL for a long time.
I grew up with like, when I think back to like what I loved about SNL, I loved Will Ferrell doing George W. Bush. And I loved Antonio Banderas made me think of this because I think it was Chris Kattan used to do this Antonio Banderas impersonation.
That's okay. I just want to say that's what I was channeling. That exact thing is what I was channeling. Okay.
So it was like he would always like be talking or somebody would be playing. He'd be talking to somebody and then he'd be like, he'd just stop and he'd be like, it's hot in here. No, it's too hot. And he'd go to the one of the buttons on his shirt to unbutton and he's like, and then he'd have like a mariachi band or something with him and they'd be like, no, too sexy, too sexy, too sexy. And he'd pause and then he'd go, but I must. And go down a couple buttons and they play like dun, 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 dun.
I love that because that's exactly what I was going for. And that too sexy skit is I think off forgotten, but I'm glad that you brought that back because too often I go to the, I'll say, no, too sexy. And like, one person in 20 gets it, but I appreciate that you get that.
Yeah, right. I loved
Well, that's who I'm going to be for today's show. I'm going to be that guy.
Okay. All right.
I'll show. Okay. Yeah. It'll be this voice. It won't get tiring at all. For me. I mean, or you.
Oh man, that happens. I think the ladies will love that, by the way. That happens to me all the time, like when I read books to my kids, because my dad would read to us when we were kids, and my dad would, my dad is, neither of you guys have met my dad, but my dad is like, you know, pretty understated, but my dad would do different voices for different characters in the books he'd read to us. And so I kind of do that with my kids too. And every now and then there'll be like a character in the book who's like a bear or a villain or something like that. And I'll get down and be like, I'm going to get you, and do some voice like that. And then I'll find out, I'll turn the page and find out, oh, there's a lot of dialogue from this character. And I'm like, can't get through it. I can't do that for that long.
And it's kind of like didn't Kevin Costner do a Robin Hood where he starts with an accent and like a third of the way through the movie, he's abandoned it. It's like, okay, we're just going to finish the movie sounding like, you know, like Kevin Costner from all the baseball movies, you know?
Everybody's done that. Everyone's done one of those, like a bad accent movie, I feel like.
But he just leaves it. It's one thing that's like, you know, let's go shoot the first third again. But they're just like, I don't know if they ran out of money, and they're just like, we'll just let it. Nobody will notice. And it's fantastic. It's fantastic they made that choice.
Well, anyway. Russ and I both have tried to like do something with our backgrounds. Russ is getting much more serious about it now because he's going to do a lot more like live video for Yahoo, I think, from that spot. Because Russ used to do it just at his bar and his kitchen.
Yeah, it's like my kitchen.
And it's not that it looked bad or anything. Russ is single. He has a little more freedom to do that. Good luck to me in a house with five people ever being able to find one space that's going to be clear all the time and not have, you know, a bunch of unfolded laundry in the background or whatever. Yeah. So I actually do this at my dad's house once a week. And my dad lives less than 10 minutes away in his basement. And so I painted this wall back here. I don't even know if you can tell, but I painted it. I repainted it like light blue. And I put up these old like Tulane football programs that my wife framed for me. And that's it. And if I keep it the shot tight like this, then it kind of, you can't tell that that's all there is. But if I zoomed back, you'd see nothing else. And these are not at the right height where they look right doing anything other than this. These are very low to the ground. You can't tell that because they're perfectly positioned
it
for how
is
I'm sitting.
Specifically for a background.
It's the only reason they're up. Right. But if you came over here, you'd be like, why? Who hung those four pictures like 2 feet off the ground?
You've really taken the next step. No, you understand that this is how people are going to get news and things from now on is through these little screens like this. So you really went all in. My microphone, because I was used to doing mostly audio stuff, it's screwed into the desk. Like it's attached to the desk.
Yeah.
So like that's how I did it.
No, that's pro level. No, that's serious.
Yeah, but also it's in my room. So it's not a great background. So but it's gonna sound great.
No, it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It sounds amazing. And honestly, there is something to the seeing, and everybody knows, because like coming out of COVID, everybody was doing stuff at home. Yep. So you'd see what everybody had going on. There's something authentic and cool and genuine about, hey man, y'all gonna see what y'all gonna see.
That's it. I got nothing to hide here. I mean, I got things to hide.
There was a little too much of that in some cases. Some people lost their jobs over how much you saw.
That's right. Yeah, Jeffrey Toobin.
Yeah.
All right, let's not get into that.
We found out later that our producer, Tony Gill, was doing most of these.
Did you just say Lubin?
Lubin Tubin.
Yeah. I knew he was going to. He can't. It's like a reflex. Like when the doctor hits you on the leg and you kick, if you say Jeffrey Toobin, Russ is going to say that. He's going to say that every time. He can't stop himself.
Don't flip it on me. Like, he was on the hub at work, not me.
I like that. That's good to know. That's good to know. He's going to have that reflex. I'm going to write that down.
Wow, boy.
Keeping that note. Keeping that note.
No, Carlos, as you get to know me and our friendship grows, I'll definitely take it there at a moment's notice to spice things up. However,
but I like it.
I try not to as much because if I had to pick one person who was probably the first person to listen to the podcast each week, it's my mom, right? And my mom, like old school mom, she'll wake up at like 4 a.m. Like, who the hell does that? And then
watch
she like, she's praying and she's reading her Bible. And she's like, I'm going to listen to my son's podcast and I'm swearing and making Lubin Tubin jokes. And so then I feel bad. And then these guys are making, you know, Tone and Jason are making jokes about me and a guest that I may or may not have had. No evidence of that at all here. So it's just like I've tried to reel it back for my mom specifically.
Well, okay. Well, I'll respect that, and I'll limit my Antonio Banderas to sexy. I'll just say, or we'll just shout out when we're getting too close. We'll just shout out, no, too sexy, Russ, too sexy.
There we go. That's great.
Too sexy, right. Russ, too sexy.
Russ gets like 10 seconds into describing his Friday night, and you got to say, no.
Too sexy, Russ. And then... Yeah. I decided to order a drink. Russ, too sexy. It was a sex on the beach. Russ, too sexy. We told you already. Too sexy.
Oh, man. Yes. Absolutely.
Let's start our show, and then I have some stuff I want to ask you guys about. That voice that you're hearing again is Carlos Frias, by the way. Welcome to Sports Adjacent. I'm Jason Leisure with Russ Dorsey, my co-host, and Carlos Frias is back with us from Miami for the second episode in a row. This is the first time we've ever done an episode with somebody and then just been like, that was great. Let's do that again.
You want to come back?
Like, yeah, let's just have this guy back. Like, that was fun.
Listen, y'all see the bed behind me. My bed needs sheets. You know, just keep the sheets coming. Just keep the sheets and giggles coming.
See, we didn't do that on that, Jason. He was just like, nah, I mean, I got the sheet set coming. Yeah.
Listen, one set of sheets goes a long way. I think it's got to get you a couple shows, I think. That's the math. Honestly,
sheets and giggles are on their way.
I'm very excited. I can't wait to see them, and I'll post about them. I can't wait for folks to show it off a little bit. That might be too sexy. That might be too sexy.
That is too sexy.
It might be too sexy.
You'll have to decide that. You'll have to decide if the people can handle that. Are you married or engaged?
I am engaged. My fiance and I have been together for a long time.
I know. Yeah. That's why I wasn't sure, but you got to be careful though. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. She understands. She knows what she's getting into. She knows what she's getting into.
With the sexiness. After all this,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's okay. Why, right. Listen, she knows why she's here. Because of the two sexes.
Okay. All right.
Now, but we've been together for like 8 years now, and then we got engaged in Chicago in 2022. It was one of our favorite cities. And then we're just like, let's just enjoy being engaged for a while. This is also great. Let's do this for a while. So that's where we're at with that. I'm good with that.
Okay. Well, yeah. I get like unusually excited to hear how much people like their sheets and giggles. So I can't wait for you to get them and then tell us about it, because I have no doubt you're going to love it. We do the ad reads for them, of course, but I know that but people are asking us like, hey, should we really get these and stuff? We're like, yeah, they're really good. They're really great.
They send you private notes. Okay. I know they're the advertiser, right. But are they good? Should I really get them? Okay. That's good.
That's a good endorsement. 1,000%.
Well, we have had them on our beds for probably like 2 years or something now, because we've been with them for a while. But it's fun to see everyone else have that experience for the first time. If they're like, okay, bed sheets, whatever. And then they put them on their bed and they're like, those were amazing. That's like the most comfortable sheets I've ever slept in. I'm never going back to the whatever aisle at Target.
Nice. Well, after 2 years, you should probably change them. You should probably launder them at this point.
Yeah.
All right.
We will. Okay. Our show is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles, of course. You can go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA right now and take advantage of their sleep month sale for the entire month of March. So it's going to be different things at different points, but when you get this episode, it's 25% off site-wide. It's just automatic price reduction. You don't need a promo code or anything. But then our listeners get an extra 10% off by using our link. Use sheetsgiggles.com/SA. And they'll just kick that promo to you automatically. So they're doing a good sale for March. And then they're going to, which is like perfect time to be buying the sheet set, because it's going to start getting warm. And one of the things I love about the sheet set, which is their signature item out of all the things they have, is it's not too hot. Like I like to be kind of cold when I sleep. These keep you nice and cool. They're soft. They're comfortable. They look good. Take advantage of the sleep month sale. Go there via sheetsgiggles.com/SA and get a little bit extra too. Sports Adjacent is brought to you as well by BetMGM. Go to BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app and get this offer. Your first bet gets paid back in free future betting credits up to $1,500 if you don't win. Just use promo code adjacent1000. There's plenty to bet on over there. Use that promo code adjacent1000. You get a great offer there where they give you free future betting credits if you don't win. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Russ, I wanted to ask you, you know what? By the way, before I ask you this, I didn't realize this at the time. Last week, our episode with Carlos Frias marked 3 full years of doing the show.
Anniversary?
Well, sort of. I don't know about to the date, but it was 156 episodes, which would be 52 three times. So that's three full years of Sports Adjacent that are out there now in the archives.
Wow, I didn't get you guys anything, but I got a return visit. That's what I brought you.
No, well, you
I gave you some meat.
Yes.
To paraphrase Terrell Owens.
That's awesome. Like man, I hadn't, like, now that you said it, that's really cool. This is something that Jason and I kind of just, hey, you want to do this? Yes. And to have 3 years of podcasts is awesome. And we've done them from a lot of different locations. Shout out to all the hotels for all the Wi-Fi that we've used up doing pods. Yeah. It has been a lot of fun. Jason's done it in both his home and his dad's place. I've done it in two different apartments. So this is it's great.
Well, your dad's a fan of the show, right, Jason? Because I know that I've seen a leisure like a tweet or a retweet. Yeah. And I'm guessing by that profile picture, that's probably dad. A lot of respect.
Both my mom and my dad both listen to everything, and I run into a little bit of the same problem that Russ does with my mom listening. And it'll always be like, my mom loves the show and she loves the guests. She was very happy with your episode, Carlos. Loved having you on there. My mom loved that you posted a video on Instagram because my mom's really big into Instagram. I don't think she posts anything, but she likes it as a reader, if you want to call it that. But my mom will always be my mom will never say the part of the show that she didn't like because it was inappropriate. But it'll be like, oh, I really loved last week's episode. Well, most of it.
Oh,
and then I'll kind of know. Okay, I'll be like,
I can figure out what part you didn't like.
Oh, yeah, okay. I kind of have an idea of what that would be. All right,
pancakes. Well, pancakes didn't make the cut.
Yeah,
that's my guess.
But what I wanted to ask you, Russ, was, if you had this experience as a kid, because I've noticed as I am doing parenting now with my kids at 10 and 12, almost 13, I don't think I'm turning into my parents, but I often will tell them how much better of a job I'm doing than my parents.
how much nicer
I am. And I should start this by saying, like, I had very, very good parents. My mom, my dad, my stepdad, everybody was great. Everyone was great. I have nothing to complain about from childhood, but times were different. I think my dad would say he had very good parents, but times were different then as well, like in the 60s. And so there's all the time I'll tell my kids something like, hey, you know, if I'd said what you just said, you know what grandma would have done? Grandma would have, you know, I would have got spanked or slapped or whatever. And I always tell them, like, you know what? I didn't really get slapped because I knew better than to say dumb like that. Well, I don't say that, but I think
it. You're like, you're lucky I'm your dad because it's fewer beatings. How's that?
Yeah.
How's that?
Did you hear a lot of that as a kid, Russ? Did you hear a lot of your parents like telling you why you should be grateful because they weren't, you know, they had it a little bit more severe when they were kids?
Well, yeah, but the problem is knowing me, so I would flip it on them. And at a time where they'd be like, yeah, no, you can't do this, or yeah, you can't get this thing, I'd be like, whoa, wait a minute. I thought you wanted better for your kids than you had it. And I was that guy. Like, don't, wow. you can't do the whole, oh, back in my day, we didn't even have, and then I flip it on you. Then you're like, well, I didn't mean it like that. No. You shouldn't have said it, because I remembered. I was storing it away. That was me. So yes, had those where it's like, we only got one blah, 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 blah. And now I'm like, well, you're supposed to want better for your kids, yeah?
Damn, counselor. That's a point for the defense there. That's a point for the defense.
And you know when you got your parents when they're like, gone somewhere or something like that. It's just like, yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, right.
I got you. I got you. Yes.
I'm going to air some dirty laundry. It's okay because I don't let my kids listen to this. My kids are really good. Like, they're very smart. They've been very articulate from the jump, from like age two, talking in paragraphs and stuff like that. So they have a lot to say. And we try to do this kind of thing of like, hey, it's okay for you to have feelings and, you know, disagree with us and things like that. And we're going to work through, like, you know, very 2024 parenting, a lot different than 1994 parenting from my experience on the other end of it. But my 12-year-old said something to me this week. Like, I expressed some displeasure with something. She said something to the effect of like, try being around more if you want to say things like that.
Oh,
because I'd been out of town for 5 days on a business trip. Five days. She's talking to me like I went out for cigarettes and didn't come home because I was on a business trip for 5 days.
Driving.
Wow. You know what? That every time I hear a kid say something that's precocious, I think, what TV show did you see that on? And they're right. Like,
what book did you read it in?
Nowhere. Nowhere. Yeah. Nowhere. Right. That's too whip smart.
Some over dramatic character on the show.
To Carlos's point, that definitely happened to me because I remember one time I was watching a show and the word slut was used and it was added to my lexicon. And I said, I can't wait to use this out in public somewhere at an age where I shouldn't say it. And I said it at church of all places.
Oh no.
Okay, all right. And give us the scene.
I was with my friends. We were talking about something, and I said that this person was a slut. Now, I didn't necessarily know the meaning of the word. I just thought, it rolls off the tongue. So I just said that person is added slut at the end. And it caused a big stir as it would.
In church.
And so then it was just like, where did you hear that? And it's like, I was watching the show and it was said. And it sounded really cool to say. Obviously, because of the reaction, I guess it's not really cool to say. But that's what happened. My brother loves that story.
You didn't backpedal. You just gave it right up. I might have been like, I caught the spirit. I don't know what happened. What did I say?
Listen, Carlos, if there's one thing that has been true about me my whole life, I'm going to tell you what happened. Like, I'll be honest. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'll give it up. But, like, yeah, I was watching TV. This word was said. I like the word. And so I used it amongst friends.
Why does Joe like that story so much?
Because he was there when I said it. And so it's one of those stories. Like, remember when you said slut at church? And it was so random because I think it was like the person I said, it was like Frankie Muniz. Because I think I was watching Malcolm in the Middle of the Night before. And I don't even know why those things went together. But I said, Frankie Muniz is a slut. Like, it was wild. And mistakes were made. Yeah. I figured out,
I think that word
still rolls off the tongue, but let's just not use it at church.
I think you got the name of your title of your show, Frankie Muniz is a slut.
Yeah.
I think that's an early contender, I think.
We don't have, it's great that we have some advertising, but we don't have like enough to get sued and be okay. So,
all right, maybe not.
I don't think we should name that. Working? Name the title of the episode that.
Yeah, I don't know if he's working enough to.
He might not be that great off.
He's not a guy anymore.
Maybe
he might want to come after us, is what I'm saying.
Oh, he might need it. Listen, I hate to break it to you, buddy.
Yeah, I don't
garnish my wages. Good luck.
That's what kids do. They want to like kind of try it. They hear something new and they kind of want to try it out. They kind of want to see how that goes over. Let's try to.
You know, like a comedian is working on new material.
That was you.
Room.
That was you. Russ is like, let's see.
Like, all right, not a good joke.
Yeah. Russ is like, maybe not the right audience for that one, huh?
Tough crowd.
Yeah. You know what? Comedian will be like, maybe I don't tell that joke in Alabama. Yeah.
Right.
And Russ is like, maybe I don't do that one in church.
Church. Yeah. All right.
Maybe I don't try that word out in Sunday school.
It's funny you mentioned that just that scene of your daughter hitting you with try being home more. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm just thinking about sports more in general now, and my brain is kind of going back to those my sports writing days. And I'll always remember being in the Dolphins locker room. And you and I overlapped in the Dolphins locker room, right, Jason? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember
all my sloshes first, together.
My first season was 2006 on the Dolphins. Okay. And you were in there doing some story on Joey Harrington, the old Oregon quarterback who had been drafted really high. And I think they were going – he was with the Dolphins and ended up having to play like as a backup, and they were going back to Detroit for a Thanksgiving game or something. Yeah. So we had a little bit of overlap on the Dolphins.
I wanted to – he's probably one of like the 32 quarterbacks they've had since Marino or whatever the number is.
I always tell people, man, the Dolphins are just like Bears South. It's like the same thing. It's two teams living in the past – all the same problems, all the same mediocrity. Like, I think at one point I looked it up for a certain period, like the last 15 years or whatever, and they had the same record, like down to the actual wins and everything. Like, I've covered the same team my entire football writing career.
But go ahead. Change uniforms.
I blame Jason. He should just move until the Bears.
Wherever he goes, it's like if he moves to New York, the Giants will be that mediocre for the next 30 years. No, but I always remember being in the locker room once and, interviewing, you know, and you know how it is. Sometimes you're there's like that little press area where you're writing and you have your assignments and you have usually a dozen stories if you're looking down the week, and you're going in and you're trying to squeeze blood from a stone because you have, you know, not everybody knows that you have this very limited time with players a certain number of days a week, sometimes not even every day, depending. Mm-hmm. And so if you go in, you might have 45 minutes to get not just the information you need for that game, but or for that next day story, but sometimes the day after that. Like, you're trying to get as much information as you can. And I remember just like having one of those days where you have a lot going on and a lot of stories, and Ricky Williams comes out and he sees, I don't know if he had a bad day or what, but he's looking around the locker room full of, you know, reporters working. And he's like, why are you guys even here? You know, don't you guys have families? You know, why don't you go home instead of don't you have families? Don't you have families? Shouldn't you be home with your families? And I'm like, dude, I'm here so that I can pay for my family. So I can like help my friend, support my family.
I'm trying to feed my family.
Like, think about how disconnected. How disconnected you must be from reality to like say something like that. And yeah, exactly. Like, you are like, why aren't you with your family, dude? And stuff like that always got into my, it got into my, like underneath my fingernails because it's such a lack of awareness, you know, that I found, I dealt with so much covering sports, and it was, you know, it certainly was not always that. But there was always that somewhere in a locker room, and it can get, you know, it can be a bummer.
It always makes you, Russ, I'm sure you encounter this, like, it always makes you appreciate the people that are kind of normal. It always makes you appreciate the players and coaches that are like, this guy is not living in some multi-million dollar bubble where, you know, where everything is kind of catered to him all day, every day. Like, this guy understands how normal life is, too.
It's one of those things with baseball where I feel lucky because baseball is the longest of the major sports, right? And so I always tell people, my job is I basically have the same schedule as a professional athlete and I make nowhere near the same money, right? But I got to be up early to catch these flights somewhere. I don't get to fly private. I got to go through TSA pre and all this other stuff. Late hours, long hours, holidays, all that. But because baseball goes on for 7 months out of the year, especially when I was on the beat, a little different now, players see you every day for 7 months. So you get those conversations, similar to what we were talking about last week, you get those conversations where you're just talking about life. You're talking about, oh, when we're in San Francisco, you should check out X restaurant. I remember in Pittsburgh, I had a date and I asked like an executive, like, hey man, you're from here, where should I take this girl on date? And they'll give me like a list of places to go. It's just stuff like that. But even in that, where I think a majority of baseball players are super normal, you have a lot who are just like, you're not your I don't have time for your little media questions, and I don't want to shoot the shit with you. But you have that. And that's, you just got to learn how to navigate that.
Yeah. That's a skill, man. That's a skill like anything else. It's a skill like anything else.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Carlos, how do you, how old are your daughters? You have three daughters. They're teenagers or?
Yeah, I got two in college. I got one that just texted me, hey, thanks for sending me my new contacts. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's what I do. I got two in college and I got one, one in high school, who's junior in high school. So
you're,
it's like,
sends me my contacts.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's it. And it's, they're at that stage now where like, you know, college is very much that, I call it the halfway house, you know, between your parents' house and moving on into the world by yourself, where they're, you know, they got a little bit of a hand, you know, a safety net. And, but I think they're getting right to the point where they're going to tell me exactly what they think about me. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I always feel like that's going to be a rite of passage, you know, like, where your kids tell you all the things you did wrong. So I think we might be, you know, we might be floating in that territory at some point, but I do love them, and I love hearing about them getting their contacts and thanks. So
one of my favorite things about being an adult now is giving my parents in a fun way a hard time about things that they did as parents. Where I'll tell my mom, me and my brother, something that happened, like 100% accurate. And she's like, that didn't happen. Or you guys are exaggerating. It's like, no, this happened. What are you talking about? But it's great. I think it is one of the most underrated parts of the parent-child relationship. And you got to wait for it for a while, where everybody's grown, the kids are grown, obviously still have respect for the parents, but it's just like, we can talk in a way now where it's like, hey, y'all didn't play y'all best game on this day. Like, you guys went 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts on this day. And it's funny now, but I just want to let you know, wasn't a great day for us. Or me and my brother will remember a time where it's just like this one that, she's going to hate me for this. My mom and my parents, they don't swear, right? They don't drink, but they're super cool regardless of that. There was this one time, me and my brother are going back and forth, Carlos. Like, we're in the car, and we were very, I'm going to poke you, and now I'm going to poke you, and now that poke turns into a hit, and now we're going back and forth because it's only the two of us. And then we're complaining to our mom about something, and she was just like, you guys need to stop bitching. And me and my brother, like, stop in our track. Like, we were frozen, like, just shocked. And then she's going, like, you guys complaining and complaining. You need to stop bitching. And, like, she gets out of the car and goes in the house. And I look at my brother. Like, almost like it was like, did she just do that? And it's like, oh, I can't wait to tell grandma that you said that. Right? But that looking back, it's just like one of the times where I'm like, remember that time, Ma? Remember that time you were cussing in the car? Like, she said the 4-letter word when we were just complaining about something. It's great.
I'm looking forward to having that relationship with my kids, like, when they're a little bit older, you know, like, you get to that point where you can, like, you've set them off into the world. And that's it. You're out of college. There's no real safety net, and you're making your own way and making your own mistakes, you know, and your own successes. And I'm looking forward to, like, seeing them as adults and having, like, adult relationships. Like, that's just starting now. Like, when they're 18, 20, like, it's like the beginnings of that, and they're not home. So it makes it easier. You know, they're away at college.
Yeah.
So it makes it easier to start that transition. I think if they were living home and going to school nearby, I think it would be harder.
Yeah,
I think it would be harder because you still want to parent them, you know?
That's a terrifying thing for you to say to someone that has preteens right now, because like I don't even want to like think about that world right now. But yeah. we don't really use profanity in our house. I generally don't, unless I get really, the times where I'll use it is if I just really get mad Damn about something. Grace. Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Or every now and then I'll slip one in when I'm talking to my wife, and cause it makes her laugh. It catches her off guard and makes her laugh if it's like a funny one. But what happens is like every now and then, like Russ is reenacting a situation that happened in our house where, my daughter sprayed me. She was supposedly washing my car. You know how when your kids wash your car, it's like, they just play with the hose, sprayed me with the hose while I was standing there with my phone, and it was cold and it got my phone all wet. And I was just like, damn it, Grace. And man, her face fell off her head when I said that. Like she was so unused to being talked to that way.
Yeah.
But in general,
in your head, you created a core memory. That to me is always the hard part.
Well, when that's something I live with all the time now. Is I'm like, oh man, you're gonna remember this forever, aren't you?
When you're laying on the couch,
you're gonna be 34 and telling this to a counselor. And then you're going to be like, hey, Dad, we need to talk about this thing that I talked about in counseling today.
We unpack this, Dad.
Yeah. Let's go back to when I sprayed you with the phone like a dumbass and you. But my kids don't get like, my kids get a little bit kind of like how you were saying, like you and Joe were, Russ were. They get indignant and they know that when I let something like that slip, they know that my wife will be right on their side. They know they've got all the leverage, all the power. They will get this wide-eyed look on their face. They'll be like, did you just say a curse word? We're telling grandma. We're telling mom. We're telling Dion Miller. Like they're
I'm
like,
calling the news, not, I'm calling the newspapers.
Dion Miller is a local Chicago sports anchor. Perfect. So they're like, we're going straight to the media with this.
Yep.
She would be a person I would call if Jason did something to me too. Like,
right.
I would definitely go to her.
Right.
But it's something, you have very smart children, Jason. And so me and Joe were very similar to Anna and Grace.
I bet. Like, I could imagine.
When kids
I've only known
really
you in your
smart.
20s. I could picture like the 12-year-old version of you, just like maybe even more confident with the know-it-all stuff.
But it was just really like, you weren't gonna outsmart me and Joe, right? Between the two of us, there was just too much brain power at work. And Joe, it's weird when we have my mom on, we'll talk about it. Like Joe in the early half of his life was the guy that got in trouble in school and like talking in class. And then he kind of drifted away from that after, you know, some of the blowback that he got. And then I turned like 12 and it's like, nah, it's my time to shine now. Your time is over, buddy. It's my time. But like between the two of us, we'd be, all right, it's me and you against mom and dad, right? Like that was our mentality all the time. Not that we didn't love mom and dad, but it's like for us to get what we need around here, we got to work together, man.
For me, it's got to be like once they know how to pay their taxes, that's when they can come for you. Up until then, you'll be like, how about I do you want me to take care of your taxes this year? Oh yeah, I don't know anything about that. Right. Oh, but I worked last summer. I'm still dependent. Aha, that's right. You remember that. Yeah. You are still dependent. That's all I got left. That's what I got left, Jason.
That's all you can hold over their head.
That's what I got left. I was like, I
still wanted you taxes. On my taxes.
That's right. That's right. Don't you
Russ, my kids, my daughters, like you and Joe, like they refer, my wife and I noticed the other day that they do this. They refer to us as the parents. They don't say mom and dad. Like the same way, they say it in the same way you would talk about the police. They're like, well, if we do this, the parents will catch us. Or if we do this, the parents aren't going to like it. Oh man, we might be in trouble when the parents see this.
That's great.
I do things sometimes where I'll like walk. I'll still do it now, but back in the day, I'd walk in my house just to like for shits and giggles. I'd be like, "Hello, parental unit." My mom would hate that.
Yeah,
hate it.
That's funny, man. Yeah, my kids. It's funny to catch them in private moments of conversation between them. That to me is like, it's the most interesting thing. And also when they realize that they've broken the fourth wall and you're the fourth wall. So like the other day, my kids were in town They were all in the car together, and I'm driving, and I'm feeling great because all my kids are together. And we're and which is rare as they get older, you know, because they all have lives. They all have lives, and they're all separate. And I'm driving somewhere, and my middle daughter says something with the F word in it, like the effing whatever, like, and they're talking to each other. And then there's like, I pretend like I've not heard it. They're in college, man. You know, like I can't say anything. I'm not going to say anything, but like I'm driving and you can hear the faces they're making between them. You can actually hear the muscles in their faces. Like, you know, like, oh God, you said that, yeah. Dad, like the face muscles say, Dad heard you. He heard what you said. And the other face says, no, he didn't. He didn't hear. Oh, wait, I did say that. I forgot. And there's like that moment of silence. And then you're like, and then it's like, ah, should we get something before to eat before we stop at such and such a place? And that's how we move past it. But that is the funniest part.
So I was out with somebody the other day who had been living in a place for a couple of years. It's not where they're from originally, but they had been there for about 2 years, and they were like, yeah, I'm horrible with directions. Now, that sentence in and of itself always bothers me, regardless of where I hear it, because I feel like you as a person should have an idea of where you're going at all times. And I think part of it is the way I'm programmed and wired as a person. I also think part of it is growing up in this city over here, where this is one of the largest cities in the world. I need to know transportation. I need to know streets because of traffic. I need to know back streets and shortcuts. And the biggest thing is I told this person, I'm like, I don't live here, and I feel like I know the city better than you do. And she was like, yeah, you probably do. So I wanted to ask you guys, what cities do you know like the back of your hand? Because I wrote them down, and I have like 10 as of right now.
Wow, 10? You have 10?
Yeah.
10 cities that you know like the back of your hand?
Jason, you want me to give mine first, and then you guys go?
Yeah, for sure.
Sure. What city were you just talking about?
Phoenix area.
Gotcha.
Metro Phoenix. So part of it is, obviously on the beat, you're, like we talked about last week, you're in Florida, Arizona for 6-7 weeks, mm-hmm. right? Like I had been staying that Residence Inn in Tempe for so long. Like the manager gave me a hug when I first first checked in.
My son has returned.
Right. Like, she's great. Like they take care of me there, but it's stuff like that where I stay there for 6 weeks at a time. And so I got to know Tempe and Phoenix and Scottsdale really well, where I know all the streets to go on. I know generally how long it takes me to get to certain places. I know where all the Dunkin' Donuts are so I can get my iced coffee. But Tempe's on the list, or Phoenix, Detroit, because my mom is from there. And so we used to go up there all the time. Milwaukee, I know really well. A lot of these are baseball cities that were in the division, so I'd go there a lot. Obviously, Chicago, Tulsa, Oklahoma, because I went to school there at Oral Roberts. I know L.A. pretty well, like downtown L.A., Pasadena area. I can get around pretty well there. Pittsburgh, Minneapolis. And then I have two international ones, depending on how you look at the first one. I know San Juan in Puerto Rico really well. It's not the biggest city in the world. And once you're there for a couple of days, you kind of know your spots. And then London. I know London really well. And I think that one, it was trial by fire because, Carlos, I went there for a week last year for vacation. And my second day there, I said, I'm just going to explore. I'd never been there before. And I'm out 5 hours just walking around London. It was fantastic. But then my phone died. And so it's like, all right, big city man, try to get yourself back to your hotel. Yeah. But they have a great subway system, the tube in London. Mm-hmm. I knew where I should get off of the train, and I knew how to walk back to my hotel. So I was able to make it back to my hotel without a phone, without a map, without any of that, just off of my brain power for getting around and direction. So those are my cities.
That's a ton.
That is
London's hard. London's a really tough one, I feel like, to know, because even though everything is in English, the shape of that city's not shaped in a normal way. It's kind of like New Orleans.
Not a normal grid.
Or it's not like on a straight grid that you can kind of keep track of. Like New York, Manhattan is overwhelming. Manhattan is intimidating. But there are some general ways you can kind of tell where you're at. You can kind of know the basics of, is that the Hudson or the East? And like, where am I relative to Midtown? Things like that. London is like, London feels like a lot to figure out. So good for you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's like, and I think a lot of it has to do with where I stay in each of these cities is very important, because it's like, all right, even if I wasn't as good at navigation and direction that I was, let me be centrally located. So if I go somewhere, it's like, all right, I can go to the middle of the city, right? So when I was staying in Paris, it's like, all right, I'll stay somewhere near the Eiffel Tower, where I'll know I can feel my way back to the hotel. And so I just think, I don't know, it might just be me, but I just like, people should know where they're going, especially if you live in a city. Like, that should be the one city you're able to know back streets and all that. If I look at maps on my phone, usually it's just to find out how long it's gonna take me to get from here to the place I'm actually going.
Yeah.
For me, I would say like there's two cities that I would say that I know pretty well, and that's like Atlanta and Chicago. Atlanta, because I live there in Chicago. I have a family that lives there, and I've traveled there, you know, a dozen times. And when we're there for a stretch, you know. And I always think about especially when I travel. I think about this quote from Bourdain. I actually have it. I was Googling it while you were talking, because it's the way that I try to approach travel. Because obviously you travel for business, it's very specific. You're going to you're going to the ballpark, you're going to the hotel. Those are the two main things, and there'll be things to do in between. Right. When you travel when I travel on vacation, I always tell, like, my fiance and I definitely both feel like this, is do less, is the idea that try to be in a place and really absorb it before you just run through the Louvre, take a picture of the Mona Lisa, run out of the other side, you know, take a picture next to the Eiffel Tower. And I thought about this quote from Bourdain, and it goes, the vacation gone wrong in Paris is almost always because people try to do too many things. Most of us are lucky to see Paris once in a lifetime. Please make the most of it by doing as little as possible. Walk a little, get lost a bit, eat, catch a breakfast buzz, have a nap, try and have sex if you can, just not with a mime. Eat again, lounge around drinking coffee. Yeah, lounge around drinking coffee, maybe read a book, drink some wine, eat, repeat. See, it's easy. And that's how, like, when we traveled, like when we went to Budapest, that's what we did. Like, maybe I'll put one thing on the schedule that we want to do one day, like just this one thing. And the rest of the time is just, take a this day out of the hotel, you take a left instead of a right. Yeah. This time, go down this street and versus the other, and just like kind of soak it in. People speed through it too much, and then I don't think you give yourself a chance to make memories, you know, like real connections. And I have great memories of all the places I've traveled because there have been those quiet, lazy moments. So yeah. I like to say that we become experts in a place by the time we leave, because of the spots that we have enjoyed while we happen to stumble into things while we're there. So that's my way of saying I don't have 10 cities.
my wife and I kind of got to that point where, like, we would go on trips early in our marriage, and she would have the travel guide, and she would have everything. Okay, this day we're doing these four things, and we're going to this restaurant. And there's some great benefit to that too, because these places are in there for a reason. Like, they're really fun things to do, or good places to go, or good places to eat. That's helpful. And I'm more kind of like to just, like, let's just get somewhere cool and figure it out, and just kind of see where we end up. And, you know, that maybe leads to you don't ever see the Eiffel Tower, which you probably want to. Like, that's helpful that to have somebody kind of know where the landmarks are and things like that. But I totally agree that anytime you have the luxury, both financially and time-wise, to do it, like, go for longer than you need to. Some of the best trips we've gone on have been where we go for 10 days and we only have, like you're saying, Carlos and Russ, like, we only have stuff to do like maybe 6 of those days. There's some down days in there where it's kind of just do whatever you want. And when you were talking about that, I was thinking, I will answer your question eventually here, Russ. When you were talking about Paris, like, we've been to Paris once. We took the kids a few years ago. The Bears were playing in London and they had a bye week afterward. And so we went to Paris as part of that. And we're there for, I think my wife and kids were there for like 10 days. And I was there for maybe 5 or 6 with them after the game. And there's so many cool things to do in Paris. There's so many great places to eat. I'm sure I didn't even see them all. And some of those things are amazing. Like the Louvre, you hear about that and you'll be like, oh, go to the Louvre. Oh, man, that's touristy. Like, trust me, go. It's amazing. Like, sometimes the things are popular because they're amazing. But right. When I think back to, like, one of my favorite things, if not probably my favorite thing I did there, was, I don't even know the neighborhood we were staying in, but there was one time where, like, me and the kids were just, we had about an hour to kill waiting for my wife to get ready or something, or maybe get back from the fitness center or something. And we just kind of wandered around. We just kind of wandered out in the neighborhood. We were like, the kids are like, what are we doing? And I'm like, I don't know. Let's just walk around and see if we think of something cool to do. And we just kind of stumbled into this little cheese shop and bought a couple different weird looking cheeses and crackers. And then I'm like, well, let's walk around and see somewhere where we can sit down and eat it. And that's just what we did. Like, that's not in any kind of travel book or anything like that. But if you ask me or my kids what, you know, the first memory we have from the Paris trip was, it's probably that. It's probably just kind of being part of it, just wandering around in among what everybody else would do if they lived there.
Carlos, to your point, it's one of the reasons for me that I like traveling by myself. And obviously, as a single dude, you can do that. But in Paris is our theme here. So I went to Paris in January for the first time. And 5 days after being in Amsterdam for 3 and London for 3, and Jason's point about maybe we just see one thing. Hey, like, I'm going to my one plan for the day is Eiffel Tower. Whatever I do, at some point, I'm going to end up at the Eiffel Tower. And one day I'm going to end up at the Louvre. And tonight I'm going to go to Moulin Rouge and see a show. That's it. And if I want to wake up early and do more, I can. If I want to sleep in and do less, I can.
It's less stressful. Like, it's vacation. Yeah. And the thing is, you got to find somebody that is on your wavelength, right? That vibes with that spirit. Right. Like, one of my best friends in the world is also my cousin, Felipe Frias, who's an attorney. And we get along in all kinds of great ways that do not involve traveling, because they do have, like, we're going to a place for 7 days. And each day is tracked, like, breakfast, lunch, dinner for 7 days. Mm-hmm. And I cannot, like, we did that once and it was like, we'll catch up to you guys. Like, that lasted halfway. And we had 2 different experiences in New York once when we went, because we were doing one thing and then we would meet up for dinner. That worked out great. Hey, let's meet up for dinner. And then that was our check-in. But, like, I love, like, like, we went to Belgium and, we were there for 5 days and it's like, we spent all the time in Brussels. We were like, should we try to get to Bruges? And we ended up not doing it. We just spent 5 days in one city in Brussels. But I have incredible memories of quietly getting lost down the streets and seeing this statue and that, and finding a bar that you think is amazing and then going back to it another day. Like, that to me is getting a real feel for the place. We did that in Sevilla. We did that. I'd not been to Spain, and we were like, you know, we took this long train ride down to the south of Spain, and we thought, oh, we'll do Sevilla and we'll spend, and then we'll go to Granada and we'll spend a couple of days there, and then we'll do a day trip to Cordoba. And we, like, cut out Granada. We just spent all our time in Sevilla and did like a 1 day early morning day trip to Cordoba. And saw it and came home on the train, and it was like coming home, and it's like back to the hotel, you know, and like, yeah, you know, and parts of those days are just, you know, wake up, get some coffee, sit with your book quietly, you know, nobody messes with you. and you're in this beautiful, different country having a moment. And I think that that's a beautiful way to, for me, that's a beautiful way to travel.
Russ, when you talk about knowing how to get around places, I mean, it really depends how old somebody is. Like you, and you're in the age where I think you would have kind of grown up with iPhones and Google Maps and GPS, where you don't necessarily have to know how to get around.
Not necessarily at the beginning, though, right? Like, I'm 29, and me and my brother took the bus home from school. Like, not like the yellow, but like the public transportation for like 4 years there. And so I think that plays into it, too, where it's like, all right, at an early age, me and Joe had to figure out, how do we get from our school, transfer on a bus to get home? You know, because we were latchkey kids, right? We got home a couple hours before our
Your mom's going to love you saying that, too.
That's what they called it, right? but no, it's just like they worked in the city. We lived in the burbs, and they couldn't necessarily get us, pick us up from school for a couple years there. So we just ended up learning how to take public transportation and get around. And I think it's one of the best skills that we learned growing up.
It takes the fear out of you. I mean, there's something, right? Like most things that people hate, they don't know. And that comes from fear, you know, like that's why people want to ban books that they've never read is because they, you know, like it's that fear of the unknown. And like, what is it like to ride a bus? Like you can't have an opinion on it. You can't have an opinion on what kind of mass transit your place, your city needs or wants more of if you haven't ridden one and you don't know what that experience is like and whether you're in a good city where buses arrive on time or where it might be canceled and you have no idea. And then you're just on a bus stop in the heat. So I think that's really cool that you guys had that experience. My kids didn't their mom was a little bit more like she would say, like, I would let them like go, you know, you and your sister together as, you know, preteens walk with each other to the grocery store, you know, 13, 14, you know, 12, 13, walk to the grocery store, bring me this. And it was like secret treasure hunt. And the grocery store is five blocks away, you know, so like, here's some money, put it in your pocket, get the things on this list. And it came back and it was like scavenger hunt. And for me, like anytime that I could do something like that, I think it's good because I always tell, especially my kids, like when you're scared of something, it just means you're going to learn something new. And it's like it's a great way to kind of turn the butterflies in the pit of your stomach, you know? So good for you for knowing that stuff. I remember being like talking about getting around. You mentioned it. And I remember I was a cops reporter at a stretch when I was in Atlanta, like between the end of the baseball season and the start of the new season, I was like, I wanted to do something different. So I worked in the Gwinnett County Bureau, which is like this big county north of Atlanta, as the cops reporter for the AJC in that county. And part of that is like, I would just have maps in my car. Like you pull out the map and you're going to such and such destination and you'd open up the map and you'd have to learn to know how to read it, have to learn to read it. And I thought that was, you know, I think the map people are out of business now, I would think, you know, because nobody does it anymore. But I will say, like, nowadays, I'll just, you know, we had to go get our something fixed in the car. And it was way on the other side of town. And I drove there with my fiance. And we got there. And she's like, you never checked the GPS once. You didn't put in the address or anything. And I was like, yeah, because I grew up reading maps. I know how to. So I know once you've done something and you get to know a city and how it's laid out, you develop that superpower of being able to get around.
That's one of the things.
When he said printed out MapQuest.
When he said maps, that's what I was thinking. Because
moldable maps.
My dad would take us on road trips, and my dad had maps. And my dad would be like the night before we were driving on a road trip. My dad would take us a lot of times, Carlos, on road trips to baseball stadiums. So we would do like, you know, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Detroit, and come back. Or 1 year we flew out to California and rented a car and drove through all five California ballparks and stuff like that. So we would do things.
This is a very white person thing to do, I got to say. Like the white people do love to get Midwesterns, jump in the car and drive across country. Dave George, who we used to work with, the columnist at the Sun Sentinel, the columnist at the Palm Beach Post, Dave George, used to love to get in the car and do like,
I know,
3-day road trips across the country with his kids. It was crazy.
I hate that. I don't like doing. I flew to Indianapolis from Chicago last week. I don't like to drive. And I'm probably the only one on the Bears beat that flies there when we go there. But I'm not up for more than 3 hours in the car.
So your dad used to drive your places, yeah?
Yeah, my dad had maps, and I remember like the night before we'd go on one of these trips, my dad would have an atlas out. Like, and there's people listening to this that don't know what that is, and I'm not like making fun of you for not knowing what it is. It doesn't really exist anymore. But my dad would be plotting it out, like kind of, you know, he'd have to figure out the directions for how we're going to get from here to Cincinnati to Atlanta. But when you said maps, I don't know that I ever used maps really. I would use MapQuest.
That's how old I am. That's how old
like,
I am.
I was 16 in 2000, so I started driving around then, and we did have the internet in 2000. We didn't have smartphones. I don't know if we had actual like Garmin GPS, which that's another thing that doesn't exist anymore. But we had MapQuest, and you would print out the directions on MapQuest for how to get somewhere. I think it's one of the most interesting things about my generation. The people I'm 40, you know, people that are around that generation, where you didn't grow up with all of this, everything at your fingers, but you do have it now. So it's not like, and every generation I'm sure has their technological advance that's like this, but somebody, maybe not quite Russ, but maybe like 25 and under you, this is all you know. All you know is this world. Like you've never seen it differently. And maybe if you're much older, it's a different experience. If you're my parents' age, maybe it's different kind of coming into this later and having gone through like a lot of adult life without it. But for us, you kind of know both worlds. You know pre-iPhone, pre-Google and how we found stuff out and how we got around places and how we communicated. And now you know the modern world too. I think, and maybe this makes me sound old, I think you guys do, that there is... You have such a better connection to where you are. You have such a better sense of place wherever you are if you actually know how to get around there. And it's because if you get it to a point where it's like whether you're in Arizona or Colorado or England or Japan or whatever, and all you do is just it's like a video game. It's like it doesn't really matter where you are. You just plug in where you want to go and you just follow the phone until it gets you there. How do you know the difference between being in Japan and being in Cleveland? What's the difference? You're just following the lines on the phone either way. Now, granted, I use it all the time because it's so easy and I don't like wasting, you know, an hour and a half getting lost somewhere. But I remember I was covering the Pro Bowl like 10 years ago in Orlando when I covered the Dolphins. And I was sitting next to this guy who was covering the Saints and he was much younger. He was probably like 25 at the time. And he asked me, like, what does this mean? It says on something like the post game access will be at the southeast end zone. Like, what does that mean? And I'm like, well, and I can just kind of like look around. I'm like, well, southeast is that direction. So it probably means that corner of the field. And he just looks at me and he's like I did a magic trick. He's like, how do you know that?
How do you do that?
And I'm like, first off, like, good luck. You'll probably get killed by a bear someday. Like that. You probably won't know which way.
Way to try to get to southeast right. end zone.
I was like, you know, how do I know that? The sun. Like, that's how I know that. Like, if it's, you know, evening, afternoon, the sun is that way. That's west.
That guy told that story to his friends in a bar, and they were like, bullshit. No way. No way.
This guy knew what direction something was by the sun.
Okay. He looked up into the sky, right. And he told me which end zone I should be in.
The places that I know the best, I know the two places I really like and have been to a ton over the years for work are New York and LA, but I would not claim to know my way around either one. They're too big. LA is too sprawling and expansive. I mean, I kind of know like from Pasadena into downtown, like you take the 110 and I kind of know if you throw most of the surrounding towns out at me, I kind of know which direction they are from LA itself. But it's so sprawling. It's so large. And New York is just so there's just so much going on. It's not as big of a space. But Manhattan, Brooklyn, like there's just a lot of different parts of it. And I wouldn't claim that I know my way around either one, even though I like kind of loosely could describe it. The place I know by heart is New Orleans. And I lived there as a college student before GPS and iPhones and stuff like that. So you kind of It was during the right time of life. It was for 4 years, and it was without any of those other. You had to kind of know which streets led where to be able to do it at that point. Otherwise, like, you just weren't gonna. There's no other way. I mean, we had cell phones, but we didn't have smartphones.
Right, right. You take the city that you're in out of the picture, right? Like, it's assumed that you guys know you feel like you know Chicago like the back of your hand.
I would say no, Carlos. Like, I include it because I think there's some people that live in the city and haven't lived in the city for years that have no idea past a certain point. Like, there are people who live south of the city or in, you know, south part of Chicago that have never been any farther north of than the river. Right. There are people who live on the north side of Chicago that have never gone any far south or farther south than Millennium Park. And I think that you're doing yourself a disservice from a cultural standpoint, just like not knowing your city, but also from a direction. Like, how do you know that, okay, I'll just jump on Lakeshore Drive to get where I need to go in 10 minutes? Or I shouldn't go on Lakeshore Drive right now because it's 5 o'clock during the middle of the week and it's going to be jam packed with people. I should find another way to get to where I'm going. Like, you don't know that if you don't. Then, like you say, like, people are scared. Like, oh, I'm scared to go this direction, or I'm scared to go here. Or just like, go make mistakes, get caught in traffic. I think that's great. Like, hey, man, mistakes were made today. We'll not make this mistake again.
Yeah, unless you're on your way to your appointment, you know, as long as you have time for it. Yeah, I agree with you. You'll learn something new. I actually don't know Chicago that well, Carlos. Because I grew up in the suburbs, and I left when I was 18 for college and didn't move back here until just a few years ago. So, like, at the time I moved back here 5 years ago, my only real experience getting around the Chicago and the Chicago area was in the backseat of my parents' car. So you don't really, like, learn where things are through that. And I still live in the suburbs now, so I definitely don't know my way around Chicago thoroughly. And this is actually my younger brother's favorite thing about me, because he lives in the city, has lived in the city for a long time, and he knows everywhere. So he's always like, I'm like, hey, can we meet up after I do this or this? He's like, well, what part of town are you going to be in? And I'm like, the part with the towers? I don't know. Like, what
the
do you
stadium
mean?
Stadium in it?
I don't know. The part with the buildings? And now it's like, I kind of almost don't want to learn it because he so enjoys having the upper hand on me that I don't want to take it away from that. Yeah. It's like, I want you to have something.
It's funny because Miami, I grew up on the county north of it. It's Broward County. Dade County is, you know, you'll hear, you know, Miami Dade County. I grew up just on the north side of it with all my family was here. So we, like, anytime we did anything family related, we had to hop in the car and come south. Not far, but it's just far enough. You cross that border. So I always said when I had the chance to live in Miami, I was going to live in the most Miami part. Like, I live 3 blocks from Calle Ocho. Everybody knows what Calle Ocho is. You know, like, I live, you know, south of the airport. Like, when people ask me, I'm always like, I live in Miami. I live in the actual boundaries of the city of Miami. There are – my neighbors have chickens. You know, rare peacock, because the peacocks have made their way from a certain part of town. You'll find some of those. I love that when you walk around on the 24th, when you're literally out taking a walk on the 24th, you can smell people cooking their roasting their pigs in their backyards. I've taken a real joy in, like, getting into understanding every part of Miami and how it works together. And, like, that's what I try to use, because since so much of my writing was about food, when I was at the Herald for a long time, like, I really wanted to understand how those communities met, you know, like, where they meet, and, like, sometimes where the food meets, and sometimes that tells you a lot about your neighborhood. And I just love that. Maybe I'm with your brother on that, but I really get a kick out of understanding, like, knowing those neighborhoods and knowing your way through and not being scared, not being like, that's not a neighborhood you drive into. Cause maybe there are streets that you don't want to drive down, but the whole idea of, like, that's not a neighborhood you go into is like a scare tactic. It's really like a scare tactic, because guess what? Because people live in that neighborhood. And a lot of times it's like, oh, those are people of color in that neighborhood. And the people telling you shouldn't go there are the people who are not people of color. So it's like that whole thing, what's a bad neighborhood, I think is sometimes blown out of proportion, you know?
Russ, let's do the news.
All right.
I've got some basketball news. I've got a few basketball items I want to talk to you about. One being, what would you consider more surprising? That Nicki Minaj wanted Paul George to be in one of her music videos? Or that Paul George declined it?
Paul George declining.
Really? Okay. I was surprised that he would get asked, but he revealed on his podcast, which I feel like everyone has a podcast now. And I know that they've said that for a long time. Like everybody has a podcast now. They said that probably 20 years ago. But now I feel like it's not just a bunch of people like us. It's not media people starting podcasts. Like the Kelseys have theirs. Pat Beverly has one. Like they all like Jeff Paul, all these active players have one currently that they're going on during the week. Draymond has one. I don't know if they, I'm curious. I wonder if they are doing it because they want to be able to just speak unfilteredly to the public, or if there's, if it's that lucrative. Like I know that the Kelce Brothers podcast is doing huge numbers.
Yeah.
Like that could just be,
shout out to the Swifties for helping.
The money. Yeah. I don't know.
No, go ahead, Carlos.
I had to Google where Paul George was now. I was like, what is his podcast? The Journeyman podcast. And like, why would you ask Paul George? I mean, Nicki Minaj
can do better than Paul George. Journeyman? Ooh.
Yeah, that's disrespect.
Nicki Minaj can do better than Paul George is what I'm saying. Nicki Minaj can do better. You know what, girl? He doesn't deserve you. Paul George does not deserve inviting him to be on your video.
Paul George, if you're listening to this podcast, first of all, your podcast is great. Second of all, I want to apologize for my good friend Carlos, who may not realize that you are a Hall of Fame talent and are having the best season of your career.
I think an Olympic gold medalist probably too.
I'm not covering sports anymore.
You're removed. I get it. Right. But I don't want Paul George to come after us.
Yeah, yeah. He can come after me. That's fine.
Oh, okay. That's bold. I mean, but
what are you going to do? He's going to be like, "You're a terrible sports writer." And I was like, "I'm not at all a sports writer."
I part of what I found interesting here is I think there would be like 15 to 20 players that I feel like would be in line for this invitation before Paul George. But man, did you take it a lot farther by calling him a journeyman? You really came in swinging hard calling Paul George a journeyman.
He's not a sexy name. Like, why is that guy in your music video? He does not have name. Look, we all know that there are like Clyde Drexler was like a fantastic Hall of Fame career basketball player of my generation watching him, but not like a sexy name, not like come be on my music video name. Maybe she has a specific city connection to him. I don't know. It seems like an odd choice. It seems like
I'm with you on offer. That. Like, as far as the persona and everything, like, yeah, there are guys that would be ahead of him on the list, I would think.
Very low key. Like, not like, you know, not like end up in a music video persona.
Do you have on there, Jason, while you're going through it, one, why she asked him, and two, why he declined?
I don't know. He did not specify. He revealed this on his podcast. He didn't specify what led to the invitation or for what song it was, but it was about a year or two ago. And he said that he had to decline because of a scheduling conflict.
Ah, okay.
That was the reason.
It's not like he didn't want to do it.
No, he sounded like he would have liked to have done it, but he had a scheduling conflict.
Got it.
Of course he would want to do it because it's Nicki Minaj.
Right. He's climbing. And, he's, you know.
And Paul George is not a sexy name. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think you're getting more clicks on your YouTube video, on your official video. It's like, it's going to be 20 million clicks. Oh, featuring Paul George. It's going to be 30 now million
I'm
now.
Yeah, now I'm in. Yeah.
I don't think that helps.
What did Paul George do to you, Carlos? Because this is. I don't know, man.
Paul, I'm just being a hater.
Y'all had a run in, man.
No, none. He seems like he seems like such a lovely guy. He seems such a nice man. He seems like a very nice man.
I think part of it for me is that he has a signature shoe with Nike, and it's not great. It's kind of boring.
It's just a shoe.
Yeah. I think that's part of it for me. LeBron James, you might have seen, hit 40,000 points for his career. And LeBron, by the way, on his next contract or current contract if he opts in, will become the first player ever in NBA history to hit $500 million in career earnings. So besides all the other ways that he makes even more than that, I'm sure, is about to hit $500 million in career earnings. Those are big milestones, but I just want to, like, I, as a 40-year-old, appreciate what LeBron is doing at 40. Like, I can't imagine what that must be like, even for a world-class athlete, to still be out there with 19-year-olds athletically. Just this season, just look at this season. He has played 55 of 63 games. He's averaging 35 minutes per game. He's shooting 53%, which would be the sixth best of his career out of, I think, 20 seasons. He's also shooting 41% from three, which is a career high, which is the way that you stay in the league usually. I mean, he's still doing plenty of other things. He's still 25 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds a game. But that is very impressive. He's not just hanging on, taking up a roster spot at all.
Yeah, like for – and I know a lot of people who listen to our pod are in Chicago. Listen, y'all, let's keep it a buck. Mike in D.C. with the Wizards was not doing this.
Like, let's right.
Be honest. 25-8-7 at 40 years old is insanity.
I would love to spend a week with LeBron just going to his therapy and medical appointments and like the way that the things that relate to how he takes care of his body.
Yeah.
Because my guess is not just that he is a generational athlete, but that he spends a significant portion of every single day taking care of little tiny issues, making sure they're not becoming issues, big issues, whether that's, guys are doing that, that cryotherapy yeah. and all those million little things. Like to me, that's the interesting thing is how you become an elite level athlete. How do you stay one? And how do you stay one at 40? And I bet you a lot of it has to do with, like Dwayne Wade found out at the end of his career, like, guess what? Diet turns out to be a big part of it. And finding ways to not end up on the floor 30 times in a game yeah. is another part of it. And then there's the other part of like recovering from those things. I would love to see what a typical week is like for him.
Just maintenance. Yeah.
Yeah. That probably would make the most boring TV show, but I would be into it. I don't know, man.
Like, I know there was always the thing out there that he spends upwards of $1 million a year just on maintenance and taking care of his body. But that might be low end considering like what he's putting out at 40 years old. Like the million was the bargain considering.
Yeah.
Let's stay with the Lakers for our last basketball item here. Are you aware, Russ, of the, incident you would call it between Lil Wayne and Lakers security?
I am not.
Okay. It didn't seem to be such a big thing, but Lil Wayne was so angry about how he was treated by Lakers security, by Crypto.com Arena security when he went to the game last Friday, that he absolutely blowtorched them on Twitter. Let's hear what he had to say.
And now,
Carlos Frias
reads.
What? Actually, he said, wow. Got treated like shit. We can curse, right?
Yeah.
Got treated like shit at the Laker game just now, but I figured they'd do me that sooner or later, either because of what I said about AD, Anthony Davis, or simply because they don't FWM. They don't fuck with me, which I've been got that vibe from them as well. So all good. I get it. Fuck them. It isn't what it isn't. I'm used to it. Lil Wayne said a lot of things there.
Yeah. And then this was such a big deal that he went on Skip Bayless's show the next day and did a segment on it. What I think really happened here, Russ, based on, and I'm having to connect a lot of dots because right. there's some grainy footage that somebody took from their phone in the stands of this happening. There's the tweet. There's him doing an interview with it about it with Skip Bayless and Michael Irvin, and just piecing all that together. I think all it was he was just trying to get to his courtside seats, but from the wrong way you're supposed to approach. Like you're supposed to get to those seats from a different angle or a different area. And he was just going the wrong way toward his seats. And maybe there was some confusion between him and the security guards. And he leaves. He ends up leaving over this. I could listen to, I watched the Undisputed segment with Skip Bayless. I could listen to Lil Wayne describe what appears to be just a minor inconvenience all day. It's amazing. He goes on at Skip and he's talking about like, he's there to promote something. So this is something I think he was unclear about this again. I'm having to connect a lot of dots, but it seemed like he was promoting something for a clothing company, but maybe the NBA was involved in this as well. Like there was a reason he was there other than just to have a good time. And he had really good seats lined up. He said he was sitting right by where Jack Nicholson usually sits, by the scorer's table. And you see him in the video trying to get to his seats, and then they're redirecting him. And he's describing this, and he says at one point, a security guard, a young security guard, comes up to him, and he's like, and he said, that was it. That was where I'm out of here. Once somebody comes waving their hand at me saying, I got hit with the No, I'm out of here.
He said, what?
I did wonder what he said about, like, his tweet made me wonder, what did he say about Anthony Davis? I didn't ever hear about this. And it sounds like he says about Anthony Davis basically what Tony always says about Anthony Davis. So I went back and found the clip. He was on Skip Bayless's show. I don't know the history of how he became
Skip Bayless's really good friend guy,
but yeah, they appear to be. He said about Anthony Davis, quote, if the Lakers want to be a championship team, got to get rid of AD. So that's, you know, I could see why that would upset the second most important and highest paid person in the organization. The follow-up was, why? Why do you think that? And he said, quote, because he's AD.
That's disrespect, but.
Very much so.
That's wild.
That sounds like it was going through that Usher's head, that 19-year-old pimply-faced Usher's head when he was like, don't go that way. And he's like, this is because of AD, isn't it?
The other thing with Wayne, he has like that gravelly voice.
Yes.
Like this.
How you're talking right now is how he talked about this for 3 minutes straight on Skip Bayless.
God, it just didn't want to let me through.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how he sounds.
Right.
In that New Orleans gravelly voice.
Hollygrove, man. I want to hear him do that like all the time. I want to hear him talking about how he goes to check out at the Jewels and 3 out of the 8 self-checkout machines are out of service, or how he tried to mail a letter and it got returned because it had insufficient postage. I want to hear Lil Wayne talk for 3 minutes about every minor inconvenience he faces.
I was trying to get to the game and we had traffic for 2 hours, man. We shouldn't be sitting in traffic for 2 hours. Like, that's Lil Wayne.
Yes.
I feel like I didn't do his tweet justice. I feel like Russ really nailed that.
I've had the benefit of listening to Wayne for so long. Mm-hmm. But no, I loved it.
Finally, have either of you guys ever been to the Venetian in Las Vegas?
No.
Maybe.
Familiar with it? It's kind of up by the Bellagio and Treasure Island.
It's kind of it's got like a Italian theme.
Yes.
Yeah, but I had a cousin get married there.
There we go. I've never stayed there, but I've been in there for dinner and things like that when I've been in Vegas. No matter how much money any of you who are listening to this might have lost at the Venetian, you probably still had a better time than Michael Farchi. Michael Farchi from the ABC affiliate in LA was on a family vacation in Vegas. It was jolted awake in the middle of the night with a sharp pain in his testicles. And as he tried to fish around in the bedding and in his underwear to see what was going on, he felt another 2 or 3 of these stings before finding a scorpion in your pants.
Nope.
Oh, no.
Nope.
That's not a euphemism, is it?
He found an actual scorpion in his underwear. Here's the photo. This is from the ABC affiliate. Those are his drawers on the floor. There's the scorpion hooked into them.
Oh, I think I'm physically cringing. I That's a new fear that's been unlocked for me.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I'm glad I heard about this after I got back from Vegas recently instead of before I went, because I would not have been able to get it out of my head. He is now suing with a bed bugs lawyer, suing the Venetian over this for an unspecified amount. He says he has ongoing medical treatment for this and is also kind of mentally traumatized in the sense of like he can't go to bed without checking everything.
You know, I say it serves him right to take a family vacation to Vegas. What do you expect there? What do you expect is going to happen? Listen, something's
in the nuts by a scorpion.
That's what
something's,
I'm saying. Like,
something's going to affect your nuts if you go to.
Well, you don't want to be a scorpion.
I don't know what's going to happen, but I think he maybe asked for it. Come on, kids, let's go down the strip. Daddy, what's a prostitute? I don't know.
What's the bunny ranch, Dad? Is that a petting zoo?
Oh, I love bunnies. Mm. Okay, no.
You don't want to go to that one.
KABC in LA had a field day with this. Like, I watched their 2 or 3 minute segment on it. It was amazing. I mean, the reporter who was delivering this story said, quote, this is how she opened her story, Russ. Going to Sin City can sting sometimes, but usually it's your wallet that takes the hit. Not your genitals.
Oh, yeah, oh, she didn't have to say that last part. It's, you were fine. You had me. You had me at wallet.
Yeah, she could have.
Sometimes you need an editor.
Aren't there like 50 supposedly inappropriate words that hit the ears a little softer than the word genitals?
Genitals is a wild word, even though
I know that's like the right word in the dictionary, but yeah. Like that one hit kind of like you kind of like cringe a little when you're like, give me all the slang terms before you throw genitals at me.
Yeah, I would rather, that's where I like the quote. That's where I like, now let's go to the video of saying, I got into bed and there was a sting in my testicles, and let him say that word. Let him say that. Don't let that word come out of your mouth. I know. I have opinions about the journalism attached to that right now.
The anchor called it the Sin City Sting. They were having so much fun with this, but delivering it, like I could tell behind their eyes, they were having fun because they were delivering it super seriously, like news people. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the news.
Like our news better like this.
Yes, the Sin City Sting. I'm fighting somebody from him. Y'all not gonna make fun of my pain like this.
You're fighting the news station or the Venetian or who are you going after?
The Venetian, okay. I'm fighting your pockets because I know y'all got it and they're gonna have to pay him for that.
He said, Russ, and this is like one of my huge annoyances in the world right now, and it's usually with young people, but probably wasn't in this case. He said that the customer service and management at the hotel like showed no remorse whatsoever. They didn't comp his room anything. They were just like, oh, that's too bad, huh?
That's wild. I imagine that happened though. They probably like, we run a couple $1 million in here every day. Get your ass out of here, man.
No.
You and your
somebody comes to me. Someone comes to me, like, you gotta be a human being at some level. Somebody comes to me and they're like,
no,
I got stung
you're making
in
that
the,
much money.
I got stung in the nuts by a scorpion last night at your hotel. I'm like, we can give you and your family a free breakfast buffet as a starting point.
I hear what you're saying. These businesses, they don't think like that, though.
Right. You could start by being nice.
It's the bar. Bars in hell. Be nice.
Right. Just be nice.
Oh, man. We've had another lovely episode with our guy, Carlos Frias. Carlos, all right. Well, how's week 2 in comparison to week 1 on the pod?
I think it was a nice bookend. I think we did some things here that we didn't do the first time. I had a pretty good time. What'd you guys think?
I also had a good time. Jason?
I think when we bring somebody new on, like, we know them, but the audience doesn't. So that first episode is kind of a meet and greet. It's kind of a get to know you. And then we can kind of get into more, like, whatever we want.
Meat and potatoes.
Which, in some ways, you get to know somebody better through that.
Right, a little genital talk. Speaking of meat and potatoes,
I've had a great time.
That's fantastic. We would like to thank our lovely sponsor, Sheets and Giggles. Go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA. It's Sleep Month, and they're having their Sleep Month sale. Get 25% off. And if you use our promo code, use our link, sheetsgiggles.com/SA, you get an additional 10% off. So, you know what I don't find in my Sheets and Giggles? Scorpions. So that's why you should get those sheets.
Listen, Colin's gonna be thrilled with advertisement. Absolutely. They're going to clip that and put that on their website.
Sheets and Giggles. No scorpions for your testicles.
Mm-hmm. There you go. We're also brought to you by BetMGM. You can get up to $1,500 back in free betting credit if you do not win your first bet. At BetMGM, use our promo code adjacent1000. That is adjacent1000. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Jason, anything before we let the fine folks go?
So, Carlos, you have your teenage daughter coming over tonight after we finish this. One of my questions to you is, are you able to, and if so, how do you keep up with the language that young people use?
I ask young people that are not related to me because they refuse to give me information because they don't want me. They don't want me dropping things on their heads like sus. And
yes,
like
my kids say that
I on purpose, I'll say things like on fleek. I'll say, hey, that was on fleek, just to watch them cringe and kind of crumble a little bit inside. So I get a real kick out of that. I'm fully evolving into my dad mode. When I can use some of those things. But my 20-year-old friends are the ones that keep me in touch with the kids so that I can drop that on their heads and really ruin their afternoons.
My stomach churns hearing that because I have a mom who loves doing that. I know she's listening with a big smile on her face. And with that, we will catch you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.